Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Ghost of Jeopardy Bell by M.L. Bullock. Narrated by Amy McFadden and Amanda Ronconi. The lady sleeps. Oh, may her sleep, which is enduring, so be deep. Heaven have her in its sacred keep. This chamber changed for one more holy, this bed for one more melancholy. I pray to God that she may lie forever with unopened eye, while the pale sheeted ghosts go by. Excerpt from The Sleeper, Edgar Allan Poe, 1831. Prologue, Harper Bell, Desire, Mississippi, October 1942.
Mama, Loxley is talking to her ghosts again,
Addison announced sourly. The three of us girls were in the parlor, reading the magazines that Mrs. Hendrickson gave me after her granddaughter left them behind when she returned to Mobile, but Addie was in a bad mood, mostly because Loxley refused to move out of her current spot on the couch. Their bickering frustrated me. I wanted to finish this article about dreamy Frank Sinatra. I loved all his songs, especially Stardust, and I thought it might be a hoot to start a fan club right here in Desire. Other girls liked him too, but only I knew all his songs by heart. Whenever one of Sinatra's songs came on the radio, I sang it with all my might. I'd been saving up to buy a few of his records, maybe a whole album, but my record player would need a new needle soon. Aunt Dot gave me her RCA Victor because she bought herself a Wellington record player and radio for her birthday. It played three speeds and had a shiny wooden case. That was the last time I'd seen Aunt Dot, weeks ago. I missed her.
Addison, stop!
I warned her again in a whisper. My sister rubbed her nose with a hanky, but it didn't do much good. Her nose ran perpetually nowadays, probably because it had rained for a whole week straight. Any kind of mold made her sick, and there were plenty of moldy spots in the old plantation we called home. Although I felt sympathy for her, I wished she would heed my warning. Instead, it appeared that her ill mood and Loxley's mischievousness would put us all in harm's way.
"No, I wasn't, Mama,"
Loxley called out innocently.
"I was talking to Lenny, my pet."
"You girls keep quiet in there,"
Miss Augustine barked at us as she and Mama continued their gossiping and gin drinking and card playing at the kitchen table. I peeked around the corner from my spot on the floor. No, Mama wasn't moving, and she looked terrible today. Ever since Jeopardy's disappearance, something about her seemed wrong. Anne Marie Bell had always been a proud, pretty woman, beautiful, like a model. Not anymore. She wore too much makeup, so much that it bordered on clownish, and she often had lipstick on her teeth. Her blonde hair showed dark roots, and today she was still wearing her robe and pajamas. That was unheard of around here. Mama had always been the first one up in the morning and always dressed to the nines like a proper lady, especially on Sundays. But we didn't go to church anymore, and no one from First Baptist came to visit us. It was as if we were living on an island here at Summerlee.
"Want to see my pet, Addison? I'll show you he's real."
Loxley hopped off the love seat, but didn't budge from in front of it. With a perfectly innocent smile, she held out a pocket of her pinafore and offered Addison a peek inside. Addie rubbed her nose again and waved her away. Her pale face crumpled miserably, and although she spent much of her time in bed, I thought perhaps she really needed to go for a lie down.
"Take your pet outside and give me my spot back, Loxley."
Loxley poked out her bottom lip and stomped her foot.
"It's not your spot. I don't see your name on it. Isn't that right, Harper?"
I didn't offer her any help. She was only making matters worse. I flipped the page of the magazine and tried to ignore them both.
Don't you want to see Lenny, Addison?
Before Addison could reply, a green tree frog with big red eyes hopped out of Loxley's pocket and onto Addison's shoe. Addie screamed, and before I knew what was happening, Mama stormed into the room with Miss Augustine in tow. Mama grabbed me first, picking me up by my hair, uncaring that I had nothing to do with the hoopla. Miss Augustine scolded her.
Now, Anne, calm down. Remember what the doctor said about your nerves.
But Mama didn't listen. She swung at my behind with her free hand, striking me not once, but three times before she let me go. I yelped in surprise and pain while my sisters scrambled up the stairs.
I told you to keep those girls quiet. Why don't you ever listen to me, Harper? You never listen.
I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry. I yelled back, shocked at her violent attack. Miss Augustine stepped back and watched us from the doorway as if she too were afraid of Mama. Mama stomped toward me while I tried to back away. It was no use. There was no sense in fighting her, and I couldn't bring myself to raise a hand back. I closed my eyes and waited for the blow, thinking she'd slap me across the face. She liked doing that when I spoke an ill word to her, or what she considered an ill word. A knock on the door put a stop to her intentions, and she squeezed my arm one good time before releasing me and tidying her robe. Without waiting to see who had arrived, I raced up the stairs to hide. The creaking floors moaned at my steps, but that did not slow me down. It was at that moment I decided Jeopardy's castle would become my castle, at least until she came home. I ran up the attic stairs and closed the door behind me, tears streaming down my face. I didn't know where Addison was, but Loxley sat on Jeopardy's pallet, crying for all she was worth. Her pretty face was streaked with dirty tears. Her usually tidy braids were sagging in the heat of the attic.
I'm sorry, Harper. I didn't know Lenny would jump out. He's never done that before. He's a good frog. Honest, he is.
I collapsed on the pallet and covered my face with my hands. My broken heart weighed heavy in my chest like a ton of lead. Even though she was the baby of the family, Loxley held me as I cried. After a few minutes of stroking my hair, she said,
I'm sorry, Harper. Really, I am. Did she hurt you real bad?
Her eyes were fearful and full of tears. For her sake, I lied.
Not too bad.
I sat up now and did what older sisters were supposed to do. I comforted Loxley, and we held one another a few minutes. Loxley, tell me the truth. Do you ever see Jeopardy?
I have to know. Is Jeopardy here? Is she a ghost?
Loxley slowly shook her head.
I never see Jeopardy, but I look for her, Harper. Honest, I have tried. Daddy comes sometimes, but he doesn't talk to me. I can see his mouth moving, but I can't hear him. He looks sad now, and he doesn't smile anymore.
Does he look like he always did?
He's not bloody, is he? Tell me he doesn't look like a bloody fiend.
Yes, he looks the same.
She wrinkled her neat blonde brows and said,
But he's not the only one here.
The lady ghost? Do you see her?
Not much, but the other night I heard tapping on my window.
She tapped at the air.
It was real soft, like how Jeopardy used to tap on your window when she wanted to come inside. But when I got up to look for Jeopardy, it was just the boy, the mean one who comes around sometimes. He used to stay upstairs, but now he goes all over the place, even outside. He has black eyes, Harper, and he scares me. He scratches me sometimes.
I didn't have any sisterly advice, so I just nodded thoughtfully, and suddenly her eyes brimmed with tears again.
He made me cut up your dress, Harper. I'm so sorry. He said I had to do it or something horrible would happen to you. He gave me the scissors.
Stunned at her confession, I held her and said nothing else. All this time, I had believed that Jeopardy had destroyed the dress Mama had let me borrow for the harvest dance. I believed that Jeopardy wanted to hurt me, and she'd been innocent the whole time. Loxley and I both gasped as the attic door creaked open, but it was only Addison who stepped inside. I waved at her to join us on the pallet. She didn't say I'm sorry, Addison rarely apologized, but just her being here was proof of her repentance. I held her too, and the three of us sobbed together until we were all cried out. I opened the window to cool the room, and soon my sisters and I fell asleep. No one came to look for us, not like the day Aunt Dot came to tell us that Daddy had died. I shuddered to think of him, bleeding out, pinned inside his old truck. Mama didn't like coming up here, not since that ghost pushed her down the stairs. And I knew it was a ghost because I'd seen her with my own two eyes. The door hung open for a while and didn't move again. But just as I closed my eyes, I saw the door open wider. "Jeopardy?" I asked as sleep took me under. It was then that I saw him. I hovered between sleep and wakefulness, and I was unable to move or speak. I couldn't cry out or warn my sisters. It was as if I were paralyzed. At first, I saw a black form, blacker than a crow's wing, blacker than the darkness that enveloped the attic. But then the blackness became something else. It was a gray mist and had a shape, a boy's shape. And now, by some strange magic, I could see him clear as day. He stared at me with perfect hatred, and then a black smile crossed his face.
Chapter 1. Jericho Pool. Present day. Sawdust floated in the sunlight that shone through the new parlor windows. The roof repairs were finally finished, but I was a long way from completing Summerlee's restoration. The combined scents of fresh paint and new wood thrilled my soul, and I pretended that the progress made the Bell home feel lighter, happier. But I knew I was only fooling myself. Despite the activity, the constant stream of people coming in and out of the old plantation, I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone here. And we weren't wanted. I couldn't understand it. Jeopardy and John Jeffrey Bell were together now, together and free from the sins of the past. Why would they linger at Summerlee? And now Ben Hartley was standing in the great room, and he wasn't happy.
"Please, Jerrica, please reconsider what you're doing. You've done enough here. Harper never expected you to do all this. She wanted you to bring Jeopardy home, and you did that. Take what's left of the money. She wanted you to have it. Take it and go home."
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I wiped the sweat from my brow and tugged off my gloves, shoving them in my back pocket. "I don't understand, Ben. I thought you would want this. You love Summerlee. I know you do."
"I loved Harper, Jerrica. Not this place. I never loved this place,"
he confessed as he cast his eyes around the room and then at the ceiling. "Yes, I heard the footsteps too, but it was only Jesse checking out the floors on the second level." "Is it the money, Ben? I'm staying on budget, and there's plenty left to complete the repairs."
"It's not that. You can do what you want with the money, as that was Harper's wish. But what happens after you finish all this? Do you plan to stay here at Summerlee? Raise a family? What are your intentions?"
Before I could respond, Jesse walked through the front door with his new helper, Emmanuel, trailing behind him. If Jesse wasn't upstairs walking around, who was? I gulped as Ben stared back at me, obviously hoping for an answer. Get a grip, Jerrica Poole. There are people all over the place in here today. I'll be honest, Ben, I don't have an end game, but I need to do this. I waved my hands at the construction happening around us. I want to honor Harper's generosity, leave a legacy in her name. And I don't want the Bell girls to be forgotten. Not Harper, not Jeopardy, none of them. They deserve better than that. Ben shook his head sadly and sighed. He clutched his old-fashioned hat in his hand and flinched at the sound of the nail gun going off in the other room. Come in the kitchen. You have to see what we've accomplished. I hoped showing him our progress would appease him, or at least make him happier. I hated seeing him upset. Ben had been Harper's friend, and I cared about him. I didn't quite understand their relationship and was certainly curious about it, but I wasn't one to pry. The original Wedgwood stove couldn't be saved, but Jesse helped me find this replacement. It's modern, but it looks close to the original. It's gas, but the connectors won't corrode. I didn't want a bunch of chrome in here, so I went with the original white enamel for the stove and refrigerator. Pretty neat, huh? I lived in Ben's old home now, the former caretaker's cottage, and I knew he loved vintage kitchens. When I moved into the cottage, I'd been amazed at the neat metal cabinets and mid-century modern table and chairs.
Yes, it's all very nice. I should go now. Thank you for your time. If you don't mind, I'd like to go for a walk in the garden and maybe visit Jeopardy's new memorial stone before I head back to the hotel. I'm leaving for Jackson in the morning.
I didn't want to cause him more hurt, but I didn't understand his sadness. Of course, Ben. You're always welcome here. He opened the door and paused.
Goodbye, Jerrica, he said. I wish you the best of luck.
Why did that sound so foreboding? Bye, Ben. Then I had an idea. Why don't you stop by the cottage before you leave? It's almost 4 o'clock, and we'll all be knocking off for the weekend in a few minutes. I've got to pay everyone, but maybe we could talk after? Without looking back, he said,
"We'll see."
And then he closed the door behind him and left me standing in the newly renovated kitchen by myself. That sounded exactly like something my father would have said, and it always meant no. "Okay," I called to him through the closed door. I was mystified by the entire exchange.
"Am I interrupting anything?"
Jesse's deep voice surprised me, and I smiled as I spun around to face him. Jesse Clark was a handsome man, that was for sure. In the 3 months I'd been here, we'd become close. We were nothing more than good friends, although there was always the temptation for more, at least on my part. Of course, 26-year-old Jerrica was much more careful than the Jerrica who'd gotten married right out of high school. Jesse had proved to be a skilled carpenter, and I was glad to have his help with Summerlee. I'd yet to see his boat, or more precisely, the hull of his boat, as he described it, but he'd asked me to join him for a bite to eat tonight. He wanted to try out some new steakhouse on Highway 98. I tried not to think of the dinner as a date. We'd eaten lunch together a few times, but we'd always talked about some project related to the house, so I'd never considered those dates. No, just talking to myself. Ben just left, and he didn't seem happy with my decision to stay at Summerlee.
He told you not to stay?
He thinks I should leave. I get the feeling that he thinks I'm doomed if I stay, I replied with another nervous laugh. Am I missing something? Jesse leaned over the shiny new farmhouse sink and stared out the window.
I'll talk to him. Which way did he go?
He said he was going to visit Jeopardy's memorial. Take a walk in the garden. He's acting pretty strange.
Huh. He must have been moving pretty fast because I don't see him now. Well, that's Ben for you, Jerrica. Don't take any of what he says to heart. He's probably like a lot of people. He thinks this place is unlucky.
You started to say cursed, didn't you? I shuffled my feet and shoved my hands in my blue jean pockets. Is Summerlee cursed? Again, I felt the sensation that someone was standing behind me, but I didn't turn around.
No, I don't believe in curses, and neither should you.
I know you believe in ghosts. We didn't dream that up.
No, we didn't. Riri is my cousin, remember? So of course I believe in the supernatural, but like I said, I wouldn't put much stock in anything Ben said. He's an unhappy old man. Summerlee is just a place, a dot on a map. Like any old house, it has seen its share of tragedy. What you're doing here is a good thing, Jerrica. I'm happy to be a part of it. It's been a dream come true for me. I've always loved this place. And working in here, seeing it come back to life, I can't tell you how lucky I feel to be a part of it.
I smiled at hearing his words, but his confession also worried me. What if Chessie's affection for me wasn't really for me? What if it was because he loved this house so much? God, what are you doing, Jerrica? Stop overthinking it. He was right. I was letting Ben's moodiness affect me, and I really shouldn't. Things had been going so well. I got word that my ex-husband was right where he needed to be, in jail, and my friend Anita was planning to drive down and visit me for Christmas. What do you know about Ben and Harper? I mean, what's their connection? I get the feeling that for Ben, she was the one that got away. Am I right? He smiled slyly.
I'll tell you all about it tonight. Pick you up at 7?
Sure, you can pick me up, but wouldn't you rather I just meet you there? I would hate for you to come all this way when you live so close to the restaurant, I said, as I locked the back door.
I'm not sure how the dating scene is in Virginia, Jerrica Poole, but here in Mississippi, it is customary for a gentleman to pick up a lady,
he replied with a playful wink. Oh, it's a date, I said softly, as my stomach flip-flopped from either nerves or excitement. Chessie leaned back against the sink and crossed his arms. That was his move when he was unsure about something, like my choice of stain or my idea for new spindles on the staircase.
If you think it's better that we don't call it a date, I'll understand. Or if you want to cancel, I'll understand that too.
By the tone of his voice, I knew neither was true at all. And I didn't want to cancel. I'm not canceling anything, Jesse Clark. I'll be ready at 7 o'clock, but I better go pay the guys. Will you make sure nobody's left upstairs? I thought I heard someone stomping around up there earlier.
Sure, I'll do a walkthrough, pack up the equipment, and lock up the place.
Great, I said with an awkward smile. I'll see you later. I tried not to skip out of the kitchen like a silly teenager. Chapter 2, Jerrica. Ben never arrived at the cottage. I hadn't really expected him to, but I worried about him nonetheless. I didn't see any extra cars in my driveway, but Summerlee was a big place. At least there were a lot of woods around here to hide a vehicle. I walked to Jeopardy's monument between Summerlee and the cottage, but didn't see Ben anywhere. Not on the bench under the oak tree, and not strolling the graveled walkways. I'd replaced the previous obscure marker with something more appropriate. The new monument read, Jeopardy Bell, beloved daughter of John Jeffrey Bell, together always. Rumor had it that Anne Bell had placed the former stone there in memory of her lost daughter, but I couldn't be sure. I believed the ghost of Jeopardy Bell visited here from time to time, though her body now rested next to her sister's. Once in a while, I thought I heard her young, raspy voice, a voice I would know almost as well as my own, or Marisol's, but I never saw her. After walking to the potting shed and down the path a bit, I decided that Ben had most certainly left, and I hurried back to my cottage to get ready for my first official date with Jesse Clark. Me? Dating again? I couldn't believe it. While my hair dried, I ransacked my closet for something appropriate. Should I stick with blue jeans or wear a dress? I settled on the latter. I bought a few dresses from a boutique in Lousdale, and now I had the chance to take one off the hanger. The dress was made of a soft material, mossy green, with a scoop neck and cap sleeves. I had strong arms, and after all the work we'd been doing, I was proud of how toned they looked. The phone downstairs rang, which was so rare that I had to think about what it was I was hearing. I hurried downstairs to answer it. Hello?
Hello, Jerrica. This is Hannah Ray. Do you remember me?
Of course I remembered Renee's friend, the psychic, who helped us connect with Anne and John Jeffrey Bell. During the process of helping find justice for Jeopardy Bell, I discovered that my daughter was close by. In fact, it was Hannah who let me know that Marisol lingered near me often and listened to me whenever I spoke to her. After setting things right for Harper, contacting Marisol was all I could think about. Talking to my baby again seemed like a dream come true. But for the past few months, I had dragged my heels about contacting Hannah. Renee had brought her up to me once or twice, but I hesitated. I guess a part of me was afraid that if I did communicate with Marisol, she would leave me forever. Didn't I want her to be at peace and happy? Yes. But I had to admit that I was selfish enough to want to keep Marisol close to me. Yes, I could admit that, even if only to myself. Of course, Hannah. Glad to hear from you. I've been meaning to call you, but...
Jerrica, I have to warn you,
she blurted out.
There's a shifting occurring at Summerlee. I can feel it, and I'm hearing disturbing things. To put it bluntly, very disturbing. Have you been experiencing any activity there?
I haven't seen any ghosts, if that's what you're asking. I think Jeopardy and John Jeffrey Bell are at peace now, Hannah. You said it yourself. I haven't seen any sign of them.
It's not about the bells?
Her voice crackled on the phone. What? I can't hear you, Hannah. Are you on your cell phone?
It's really important that you listen to me, Jer. I don't know what's causing this disturbance. The renovations or something else, but things are stirred up. Spiritual things. I am concerned that...
And then, the phone went dead. I stared at the receiver of the old-fashioned princess phone and clicked the button up and down. But there was no sound, not even a dial tone. I hung the phone up and picked it up again, but still nothing. The knock at the door pulled me away from the strangeness of the moment. It was Jesse. I recognized his knock. He always knocked 3 times, and it was always a firm, confident knock. Strange that I would know that. Opening the door with a forced smile, I said, "Hey, Jesse, come in. I was just on the phone with Hannah, but the line died. Give me just a second." I picked up the phone again, and this time got a dial tone. Whatever happened, the phone company had apparently corrected it quickly. I flipped through the little phone book next to the phone, searching for Hannah's number, and dialed her back. She quickly answered.
"Jerrica, thank goodness. I was just about to drive over there. I thought... Never mind. Do me a favor. Stay out of Summerlee tonight. Don't go in until I get there."
I turned my back to Jesse to hide my growing apprehension. "I'm not going to be there, Hannah. I have a date with Jesse. Is there something I should know about? What's going on? Tell me plainly, please."
"I will, but I have the feeling that I need to talk to you face to face. Are you going to be home later tonight, or should I come in the morning?"
"Morning works for me. How about around 9 o'clock? Come to my place, the caretaker's cottage."
"Sounds great. But remember what I told you. Please stay out of the house tonight."
"Okay." She hung up the phone, and I put the receiver down.
"What's up?"
I turned to face him and forced another smile, despite the fact that the hair on my arm stood up a mile high. It was then that I noticed he was carrying a bouquet of wildflowers, which were my absolute favorite. "Hey, are those for me?" He gave me a curious look. I knew he wanted to know about my phone call.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?